Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramarte Feo on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience.
Good evening and welcome. Gather round. We are back. It's been a busy few weeks. Sarit has been painting, Rick has been healing from surgery, and I've been doing some other offline things also. So, it's the Celtic New Year. It started with Samhain this past weekend, and this is the time of year when the veils between the worlds are thought to be the thinnest, and it does seem that way. Two people that I know crossed over into the Summerland this past weekend on Samhain. And I think that's probably the most perfect time to go. And we all have to do this sometime. So anyway, to Gloria and to Pete, blessings on your new undertaking, your new journeys. And for the rest of us, we're still here and we're still fighting. And the U.S. just had some elections yesterday, which probably didn't surprise anyone as far as it being a big farce. I did post on the Aramarte Feo Radio Facebook page an article by Gilbert Mercier. We have had him as a guest here on Feed Your Head. He wrote an article called The Illusion of Democracy, and I really suggest that you all read it and pass it on. It pretty much states where we are right now. It was a farce, but you know, how can it be anything else when you have two major parties that are just branches off one entity? And now we'll see what happens with the president. He's got two more years, or we've got two more years of him, I should say. So we'll see. He's conservative enough, but now there's even more conservatives who have office, including an 18-year-old from, I forget what state, in the East. And, you know, this is really bizarre because she's against gay marriage, she's anti-abortion, she's just, you know, the perfect conservative poster child. But yet she's talking about, you know, going to make some new and innovative changes and blah, blah. So, you know, if you can keep from crying, it is quite the human comedy here in the U.S. And it's not just in the U.S. because we're having this kind of a comedy around the world, actually. So it's interesting, and it is a great time to be alive. So with the full moon tomorrow, this is when a lot of things that we started a couple of weeks ago at the new moon should be coming into fruition. So I think that's something to look forward to, because hopefully everybody started something good and we're going to see the results of that. And I think that's always fun. I do have a bit of a rant. It's my own fault, because I should have just, you know, thought, okay, fine, you make croutons, just keep making croutons. But I read the package. I thought, you know, there's so many of these little crouton stuffing cubes around now since the holidays are approaching and people make stuffing. I thought, wow, you know, this would be fine. They're already made, and I could just use those for croutons on soups and salads. So I read the ingredients, and high fructose corn syrup was there. So, of course, I'm back to making my own, but as I should have just considered from the beginning. But I do not understand, and I spoke with a couple of friends. It's like, why is high fructose corn syrup in the stuffing croutons? You know, this really makes no sense. They're putting it everywhere. And we know so many things that are bad for us are just it seems the norm now in everything. So the closer you can live to doing your own cooking, don't eat the processed foods, filter your water by spring water, by distilled, whatever, you know, take care of your bodies. There's so many things that we can't really do much about right now, such as what's in the air, from the chemtrails to emissions from factories, to fracking, all of these things. I mean, yes, we can do something about it united, but just us personally, right now in our immediate vicinity, you know, there's things that we can't really do much about. So the things we can, such as eating properly, as close as we can to growing our own, if we aren't able to do that, you know, we should be doing this. We shouldn't be encouraging our children to eat candy bars and drink pop. Because look around you. I don't know quite what the percentage is of Americans that are obese, but it's a very large percent. And this includes children. So that's not a good thing. We want to live simply and green. This means taking care of yourself also. I did read an article. I will post this on the Akash Temple Live page after the show. But there's an article. It's called Seven Ways to Simplify Your Life by Jaron Allman. And it's just very simple. You know, simple, easy ways. Limit the input that you're getting, which means, you know, turn off the cell phone, leave it at home and go for a walk. Just go somewhere without it. When you're at home, you know, you don't have to be online all the time. It doesn't have to be on. You don't have to have the radio, the TV, all of these things, because we get so many different things that are stimulating us all the time. And it really makes it hard. Another thing he mentions is to monotask, which, you know, people are so proud of how they can multitask because we've been taught that that's the way to go. And, you know, I mean, I'm not saying never do that, because sometimes it works. You're doing a couple things that you can do without any great effort at the same time. But just take some time and try doing one thing at a time. When you're going to eat, I think we've talked about this before, treat yourself. If you're eating by yourself, if you're eating with your family, light those candles. Turn off the TV. You know, don't eat at the computer. You can actually sit down, have a flower on the table, light the candle, take your time. Give thanks in whatever form you do that. And take your time, eat, enjoy, really taste, look at your food. And also, just as an aside, this really helps it digest a lot better too. He also suggests that you make the road that you want to follow the most accessible, which means you make the alternatives less attractive. He also suggests just taking a minute to do nothing. And this can go along with, you know, meditating. And during the day, just remind yourself to let go or to breathe. Because sometimes we have to have those reminders. You know, they say that people don't get something like a commercial or an ad for, they need to see it seven times before it sinks in. So, you know, put little notes up around your house for yourself. That could work. You know, just to remind yourself, take the time, go ahead and breathe. It's okay. And actually, I think we get more done and we enjoy it more when we are aware of what we're doing. Instead of just doing everything by rote, you know, you can prove to the government that you're not a drone. This is one way to actually be mindful. And there's some religions, I believe that all the religions I really know as spiritual paths talk about being mindful, but it's very much stressed in Buddhism. to be aware and mindful. And I do think it's important. I think I spent a lot of my time years ago not really being, and it's made quite a difference. And I don't know if this has, of course, it will have something to do with getting older, but I don't think that's entirely it. Because there's a lot of people now who are younger who are quite mindful of what they're doing, what's going on, and actually they're better for it. So it is definitely something to consider. And just read, like I said, I'll post this after the show. There's something else I'd like to talk about. Sarit will be here at 7:30, and we'll be talking about Palestine and Israel and different things that's going on there. But on Facebook, there's a page, well, actually, it's a group called Project Janah, J-A-N-N-A-H. And this is people from all around the world, not just in the U.S., but it's based in the U.S., that are trying to work some programs to help the orphans, the latest group of orphans. There's, I believe, 170-some in Gaza after this, the latest attack by Israel. And several of these, well, quite a few of them, they've not only lost their parents, but they've actually lost parts of their body, whether their arms, their legs, whatever. So many of them are special needs children. But Project Janah, and this is headed up by Ibrahim Moss, who also we have had as a guest here before and will again. And they're asking that people start chapters where they are, or at least, you know, there's different ways to help, whether it's doing a clothing drive or looking through your own closets, sending clothes particularly for cold weather, because it does get quite cold there also. Or there's arrangements where you can send money, which will be used for several different purposes. Project Janah is working through, tax-deductible charity. I don't have all the information right in my hands right now, but your money donations and your others, actually, if you can prove it, can be used as tax deductibles. But, you know, the main thing is that the children have some goods, because most of them, since they were orphaned, this probably means that their homes were bombed or something like this, so they've ended up with little or nothing. And they're quite young, devastated, and like I said, many have special needs. So money, though, will be used to buy some of the things that aren't donated, you know, from blankets to hats to on and on, medical supplies. And this will all be handled through people who are already on the ground in Gaza. So I have put the Facebook information on Aramar Tefio page. Also an article which might make people think a little bit more. It's called As Conditions Worsen in Gaza, Where Have All the Activists Gone? And the premise, well, the lady who wrote this has been, I guess, very cheerful and optimistic through everything, but she's finally just at the end of her tether and was talking about how she prays not to wake up in the morning kind of thing, because people had promised, and not just promised, but I mean people had been there, and it doesn't seem like there's as much support. So what Ibrahim and many others are doing now is even more important than it ever was. Egypt has closed the borders to Palestine now, and that was the only way that people could get in or out without going through Israel. But Egypt caved in. So, you know, And in fact, they're relocating something. I believe it's like 10,000 people, their own people. They're tearing down their homes and relocating them because they supposedly were too close to the border with Gaza. So this is something else that the people there are having to face. And, the Egyptians can, the ones who are being thrown out of their homes, they can thank Israel for this. Along with their own government, of course, because their own government doesn't have to bow down. But it seems like so many places around the world are doing that. When we were asked why we were off the air for, what was it? Almost 3 weeks, I think. And it was basically me, but because I had things that I needed to do, and as you know, if you're a regular listener, I've been trying to downsize my own way and take care of a lot of loose ends in my own life. And so I did get some of that accomplished, not everything, but a few of the loose ends are, I guess we should say, tied up, so in a good way. And I think that it's going to be a wonderful new year. So far, I have not seen any snow, although my relatives who live about an hour away did see some the other day. So I know it's not that far away. It didn't stick on the ground, thank goodness. And we've had a few days back in the 60s. In the past week, we've also had the, like a high of 41 or something. So I am sure that it's on its way. And I mean, I'm warm in the winter. I don't have a lot of heat where I am, but I'm warm. I have shelter. I have clothes, blankets, all of these things, heaters. So it makes me feel even more for the people who don't. And that's why I'm really happy to do what I can for the people in Gaza who have lost everything. And if that isn't your particular cause, well, that's okay, but find someone that you can help. And I think we always think of this more when the weather gets cold. Those of us who live in the climates like I do in Illinois and the U.S. where it does get cold. Because if people are living year-round in warm weather, it's not quite as rough. And we did an experiment. I think that many of you, and I've posted them here and there in different groups, like on Lifestyles with RA and around, the heaters, speaking of cold, that are made from terracotta flower pots. So I was visiting my brother. We bought two of them. We bought the nuts, bolts, washers, the whole thing, put it together, and we actually put it on a couple bricks, so it was off the table, and we put the little tea lights under on a brick, and surprisingly, it got very warm, and you could really burn yourself. Now, we were in a larger room than I would use to, if I was trying to really heat the whole room only with this little heater, but they work, and it doesn't get much less expensive than that. Terracotta pots, unglazed, just your regular flower pots, and tea light candles. I have seen some videos with them using, the 3-inch glass candles under. So, you would have to experiment, but I'm going to play around with that some more this winter and when it gets a little cooler, because I think it's a great idea. And it's something that could almost be like an emergency thing. There's different kinds of emergency kits people carry with them. But something like this, you can also, the videos I saw, people were heating their small offices like that. But you could maybe, if you have a garage or something, you would want to keep it at a certain temperature. You don't have to have it 70 degrees, but you want it above freezing kind of thing. Maybe if you're working out there, you can still wear your you know, jacket or something, but this kind of a heater is very inexpensive. The tea lights, we use the ones from IKEA, and that's what I had seen advertised on in the videos, because the smaller lights, the tiny ones that you get from like a real dollar store, they're smaller, they won't last as long, but the IKEA lights do last maybe 3 or 4 hours, and you put 3 or 4 of those under this, you're going to have some good heat and much less expensive than if you're running gas to try to heat something with. So think about it. It's simple and green and inexpensive. So how much better would that get? You know, the other thing would be solar panels, which are becoming less expensive every day. And I just found out, I guess I'm way behind in these things, there's solar panels that you can roll out. So something like this isn't as hard to install. And when you move, it wouldn't be that hard to take down and move with you. So there's so many innovations coming along that we really don't have to keep depending on getting fuel and energy from the earth and harming ourselves and others. I had mentioned it earlier in the show about the two deaths, and you know, on their station, we have a show called Progress Toward Democracy with Brian Stetton and I, and actually the lady who died was Brian's partner, and so that was why we didn't do a show last night, because you know, he and her daughter are still coming to terms with this, but probably we'll be back on with Progress Toward Democracy on next Tuesday. The other person who died was called Pete Pathfinder Davis, and he was the head of the Aquarian Tabernacle church, a pagan church in Index, Washington. And I had the pleasure of meeting him several years ago on a trip. And Index is beautiful. His property, you can look up and see this wonderful mountain. And there was a tiny bit of snow. This was in the fall, but there was a tiny bit of snow on the top of the mountain, so I figure it must stay there year-round pretty much. But Pete did an awful lot for the pagan community around the country. And his group had started Spiral Scouts, which is still in operation in some communities. This was similar to the Cub Scouts or Boy Scouts, but it was pagan-based. And there were quite a few chapters, I know, in the past, and I believe there still are. So that was just one of the things he had a hand in. He also was one of the prime movers to get the pentagram okayed by the military to go on the tombstones of the pagans who were killed in the wars. Because before that, I believe it was only a cross and the six-pointed star that was allowed. And so there was a few years ago quite a movement in this country among the pagans, and he was one of the prime movers and shakers for that. So Pete will definitely be missed. And, you know, like I said earlier also, it was a perfect time to cross over, though, when the veils are very thinnest. And I guess I've got that on my mind a lot, because in the pagan community, we have lost a lot of people in the last 2 or 3 years of the elders. And I suppose that's only natural because, you know, they, like people around the world, don't necessarily take that good care of themselves, and they get to a certain age and, you know, it just, they go. But the strange thing, at least that I've noticed and a few other people with me, is there doesn't seem like there's anybody who has risen up to take their place. And so I know people will call me on that one. And it's true that there's other people doing things, not in the very open, charge ahead, gung-ho way, though, that these elders were doing things, as far as I can tell. I could be wrong, but I know some of the organizations that have existed in the past have just dwindled down, and they're almost in the closet again now. So for those of you who aren't pagan, that's just a little, you know, look. And like I said, some of the pagans will agree with me, and some won't. So I would ask that if there's something that you want us to talk about, like me talk, or if you want a certain guest or a certain kind of guest or somebody to talk about a certain topic, please get in touch with me either through Air Marte Fuel Radio on Facebook, or just personal message me. And as many of you know, I had a major hack several weeks ago. And so my new account is still Ruth Ann Amarte Field, but Ruth Ann is spelled only with one N this time around. So R-U-T-H-A-N-A-M-A-R-T-E-I-F-I-O on Facebook will get you to me, and my page is open, and any messages will come to me, unless Facebook thinks that it's some kind of spam. I know many people are on Facebook with their settings so that people can't message them. And people can message them, but it won't go to their inbox. It goes to the other. So just a reminder, if you're one of those people, or if you don't know, check your other folder. I know I nobody had told me about it. I didn't know it existed. And I'd been on Facebook quite a while when I saw it, and I clicked on it, and it's like, oh my goodness. So I check it frequently, but I very rarely find anything except spam since my page is open. But I do get the spam. So just check. It's a good thing. And I would invite you also to give a look at Lifestyles with R.A., Ra, that would be me, because we're just starting a group of people who are interested in like healthy lives, simple lives for themselves, their fellow beings, and the planet. So, you know, look it over, and if you care to, ask to join, because I'm a firm believer in not adding people to any kind of group. I would tell them about it, and they can add themselves then, because I know how frustrating it is to find out all of a sudden that somebody added you to something, you know, months ago or whatever, and it might be something you don't want to be added to. So make sure that you don't do that. And, you know, but if you would like to join, please come on over, give a look, and jump in. And now, I guess that's enough of me chattering away. We've got Sarit with us now. So, hello, Sarit.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. So many things are going on, and we've not been on the air for a few weeks. So, where do you want to start?
Clashes in East Jerusalem, clashes in other refugee camps. It's hard to follow everything that's actually happening. We have American Palestinian activists under attack. We have the Israeli right wing going more berserk than ever. They're trying to take Al-Aqsa Mosque, which, for whoever doesn't know, second most holy place to Islam. It's the most beautiful mosque. The Palestinians don't have much left, and it's just appalling how the little bit they have, they are trying to take away from them.
Right. Well, you know, I did see that Jordan actually made a good move. They called their, they recalled their ambassador from Israel because of the mosque situation. Because they're just saying, you know, this is dreadful. There is no, you know, and there is no excuse for that. There's nothing. So they called their ambassador back. And I think, you know, other countries should do this. I mean, why are people still dealing with Israel. I just don't know. But I thought that was a move in the right direction.
Fear. Even America is afraid of Israel. They blew up the USS Liberty, and there was a big article about it in Al Jazeera, which made me glad that it's coming out a bit on the mainstream media.
Yes.
And fear. The people I watched the whole documentary about the Americans that were on the USS Liberty, and they were just bombed in broad daylight by airplanes.
For over an hour. It was terrible. And then Israel tried to say that that they didn't know it was Americans, and the men on the ship said that's a crock of shit, because they said before they started bombing them, the planes flew low enough and the pilots like smiled and waved at them.
Oh, they knew who they were bombing. I could hear it on the connection line. You know, there was a phone. They were talking in Hebrew, and I can hear them talk in Hebrew. Even the accent that they spoke in Hebrew is the accent that they used to speak way back then in the 70s or 60s. Older Hebrew's a little different.
Yeah. See,
and they said in Hebrew that it's an American ship. And then his friend said, "Are you sure?" And he said, "Yes." And then I can hear the fire.
Well, and then every year now, of course, every year there's fewer because the people who were young at that time are getting older, but the ones who are able go to Washington. They try to get the Congress to, censure Israel or something on this, and it never happens. And there's a man, I can't think, do you know, his name's Phil, I think his last name starts with a T, who's one of the survivors. He's very outspoken. He's on radio shows sometimes. I can't think of his last name, but they
I'm
have a.
Sorry, not good with names,
but you probably heard him or heard of him. But several of these men, they just want justice. They know they're not going to get real justice, but they would like for the United States to say, okay, yes, we covered up Israel's crime. You know that's all they want, the truth to come out, but. I'm glad that Al Jazeera did a special on it, because the people need to remember.
And the Israeli propaganda keeps repeating over and over how the Palestinians want to throw them into the sea and don't want them to exist. And it's not true. All the Palestinians want is a little bit of justice, human rights. They want to be able to drive somewhere without having to take off their pants to show the soldier they don't have a bomb on them.
Yeah.
They want to be treated as human beings. They're not treated as human beings at all, not even close. If the average American cannot understand the way they're being treated and what it is actually like to be under military occupation, even we cannot really understand while we're talking about it because we never lived under it, but
exactly. And I don't want to. I don't. That's one experience I'll gladly pass up. We have a different kind of
about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's very scary, and we have a different kind of occupation in this country. But no, we don't know what that is like. Firsthand, and
the people in Ferguson had a taste of it.
in small areas, small doses, people have known what it's like. Well, when they put a curfew out and that kind of thing, and you have armed people walking the streets, it's very scary. It shouldn't happen.
Seen that in Ferguson, but it was very bad what I've seen in Ferguson.
I think that that's probably not all that unusual. Ferguson did, just at that time, grab the news and all, but I think this has happened in other areas that it just didn't necessarily make the news, maybe.
I watched it happen on live stream in San Diego or
Was it San Diego?
I watched it Occupy was having protests. Some parts of California experienced terrible violence, and Occupy Wall Street, New York did.
Yes, yes. Occupy Wall Street, really
and
bad. Yeah.
I've spoken to people from Florida who experienced terrible violence, and their media didn't cover it.
Yeah, so you know, when we found out that, well, the media in this country is owned by 5 or 6 corporations, and that's it. I mean, when you get down to it, we're talking about mainstream, not your little, not your small radio station here and there, but the big ones, the big money market ones. And so that's why they all have the same kind of news and say the same kind of bullshit, because they've got the same owners. And, you know, the people with the money make the rules, right?
Yeah.
I think, you know, we've had enough of that, and it's time to change it. Earlier I had mentioned Egypt being, you know, they closed their borders now, so you can't get in or out of Gaza without going through Israel, because Egypt has just caved. But
Egypt bombed part of Gaza, too. Everyone is bombed. Israel blew up another building the other day.
Right, and they're taking, they're turning about 10,000 of the Egyptians out with no homes, because they're tearing down their homes because they live too close to the border, supposedly, and they're worried about terrorists from Gaza, right? Well, you know, those 10,000 people being thrown out of their homes, they know better, and they're not very happy. But some Egyptian official has just said that out of all the money that was collected, you know, the aid money for Gaza, that the UN collected, you know, from the different countries, and I forget what the U.S. gave, but it was like nothing compared to what they give Israel. Anyway, the UN is deducting $30 million from that aid money for administrative costs. Can you imagine?
That's terrible.
Yeah, this is from an Egyptian official who also thought it was terrible. I mean, it was just like, what is this? And it was very hard just to, yeah, because I don't understand that at all. Because heaven knows the aid money was, you know, not nearly enough anyway. But then to take away $30 million, that is just again
what
no
they do to American Palestinians is just terrible. There's an article in the Nation from November 4th about the Palestinian activist who lives in America, Will Ramzia Odia. She might go to prison because of she was tortured in Israeli jail as a teenage woman, as when she was about 18.
Oh.
It was literally rape. She confessed to bombing something when they told her they will make her dad rape her. When she was 21 in 1969, she was arrested in the middle of the night by Israeli soldiers at her home. And for 25 days, her interrogators tortured her. She was beaten from head to toe with sticks and metal bars. Her body, including genitalia and breasts, was subjected to electric shocks after she was forced to watch male prisoners tortured to death in the same way. All the while, she was told she would die if she did not confess. But it was not until they brought her father, threatening to force him to rape her, that she agreed to sign a confession stating that she had helped orchestrate 2 explosions in West Jerusalem. So,
my God, how low can you get? That is just beyond comprehension, Siri.
She went to jail 10 years. She was released 10 years later, prisoner exchange, along with 25 other Palestinians. That same year, 79, she traveled to Geneva, where she described to the United Nations precisely how she came to be convicted of terrorism by Israel. In the years following, Adia lived in Lebanon, Jordan, where she obtained a law degree, and then she came to America and became an activist in Chicago and talked about it quite openly. I'm not reading it anymore, I'm just talking now. And she talked about it quite openly. And when she applied for American citizenship, she didn't mention her brush with the law in Israel because I guess she was afraid. And now, for not mentioning it, she's going to go to court. But judge in court is not allowed to bring the evidence of her torture. They're not allowed to talk about it in court. Only the Israeli forms are legitimate in court. So I'm worried about...
That is bullshit.
I'm very angry. I'm very worried about the lovely old lady. She just seems like a nice old lady, and I can't imagine that with PTSD and all her nightmares that what she's going through.
No, I mean it's we can't imagine, but that is just straight bull.
I'll send it to you.
Okay.
As we eat. Just insane.
Well, it is.
And there have been other American activists who have sent money to Gaza and went to jail for it.
Ah, yes. You have to work through a certain approved organization there. Before you came on, I was talking about Project Jannah that Ibrahim Moss here in this country is very active in, and a lot of other people around the world, but it's based here. But they're working through a, I don't know if it's a not-for-profit, but they're working through an organization, or more than one, with people on the ground in Gaza with recognized groups. Because otherwise, if you send money, you're considered aiding terrorists. So,
that's terrible. So I cannot even send money to my friend?
You take a chance if you do. I mean, if they find out, they may do something about it. Yeah.
Wow, I did not. Everybody, we should be careful. And
be
that's
careful.
That's terrible.
I don't know if you just send money to an individual person, but if you send money to an organization, then you can be in trouble if it isn't something that has been proven to be whatever, like not run by terrorists, you know, whatever they consider terrorists, and on and on. You have to do a dance. You have to go through something. But as far as just sending it to, like, a friend or relative, that's probably okay, unless they decide that that person is a terrorist.
Yeah, and how and all it takes is telling them so.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, it's just...
About terrorism, you're reminding me of a message that I got that I would like to read to you all.
Okay, let's hear.
I got a message in my inbox that Israel won't do anything about from Marco Asulin. Says to me in Hebrew, "You whore, what's it like to get dick from an Arab?" I answer, "You know?" He says, "I promise to you that I arrest Palestinian women and give it to them from all directions." I say, "What do you give them?" He says, "I give them everything. I beat them in all the holes." I say, "What hole?" He says, "You are very wise from England, but you must have children in Israel, and I will also give them holes and beat them with sticks." These are your sexual fantasies? He says, "Oh, no, I just like to abuse Arabs." I say, "You enjoy it?" He says, "Very much." I say, "When do you do that?" He says, I love it so much. He keeps saying how much he loves it. I say, "Why?" He says it excites me. You like to beat Arab women? He says, yes, and the children too. And I say, how do you know you enjoy it so much? So he gives me thumbs up. He says it makes his soul glad, and that a good Arab is a dead Arab. Insane, isn't it?
Yeah, he is. I mean, you know, like, what can you say to
He says, I am a settler, and I run Bank of Jerusalem. I help run it, Vice President. I train all the trains of Price Tag. That's me.
Do you think he really works for a bank?
I don't know. Then he thinks I'm a cop and tells me goodbye.
Oh. After he calls you a whore. Yeah, okay.
I don't care. I send it to a few people. They don't care. Nothing to do with it. Nothing. I reported it to Facebook. They don't care.
No, it's funny how Facebook won't do anything if we're attacked. But, any of our people that just say whatever, you've got to be very careful because, you know, then here they come. Or they start deleting things and all of that. Strange how it works. Like a one-way street there. I know.
Totally one-way street. I know lots of activists that have their accounts removed. Oh, including you.
I think they may. And so, yeah, we know how that goes. But, you know, it takes more than that because we all come back. We come back with a vengeance because it's like, you know, it's going to take more than that to shut us up. But good news, I'm sure you saw there were, the count, I think, is 105 ex-military Israeli people now have signed something saying that they really want the Israeli government to stop their actions that they're doing and just make peace.
A conscientious objector on hunger strike.
Ah, okay. That's
Three days now and a few in jail.
Okay, well, if like you can go a long time if he's going ahead and drinking water and isn't being beat. But if he's being tortured and beat, he won't last as long. And now the rains are coming now because you know how the seasonal rains come. And remember when, you know, Gaza floods and so the rains are, I just read that. I don't know if they're here yet or if it's just about time. And so that makes everything even worse.
It does, especially I saw footage from the Palestinian News Agency today of the Gaza school, and their roof was leaking in the school, but they kept staying anyway. They just put buckets.
Yeah, but I think, the flood, I think it was last year when, there's no place to, like the storm drain, this kind of thing has been bombed out by Israel so long ago. I mean, they just don't have it. And remember, we saw the pictures of people like up to their, almost to their knees, wading through the stuff. And then you've got sewage mixed with it and everything. So that was, I think that was last year's flooding.
Yes, that was.
Yeah. And nothing, I mean, nothing has improved. Let's face it. We've had another war since then, and more things have been bombed out. So it's going to make it even rougher.
Oh, yeah, and Israel has closed the two crossings into Gaza.
Right. So
only most critical humanitarian aid is allowed in. In response to a single rocket on Friday into southern Israel, no injuries or property damage were reported, though.
Right. They say that there's been two rockets fire Gaza since the so-called truce, but yet Israel has broken the truce at least 19 times.
So, even being under military occupation and siege, I don't see that as being truce.
Well, no, and I mean everything that they're doing there is it's against like the international law of occupiers of what you can do and get by with, but Israel doesn't pay any attention to those things, and they've been firing on farmers and fishermen again. I mean, they never really stopped. So that so-called truce was, I don't know. I saw that the what are they, F-16?
And there's F-16 still flying in their skies, and it scares them very much.
Yeah.
And the drones.
Right.
Still.
So, you know, I mean, all the psychological horror and terror and everything, it is still going on.
The people in Gaza are really depressed right now, the people I talk to.
Yeah.
Not just Gaza. West Bank is so depressing. I mean, everywhere they go, checkpoint, humiliation, you know. It just...
Well, and like you said, you've told us before that the checkpoints, they some of them, or they just add more whenever they feel like it. So you never really know when you're on a road. You don't know if you're going to run into a checkpoint or not.
And you know how we don't like being stopped by the police here? Imagine being stopped by the police there.
Yeah, yes. I really can't imagine it. Because you don't
and
know.
And they're calling to put stone throwers in jail for 20 years.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And they're raising the threshold in the Knesset to from 2 to 3.5 to exclude the Palestinian parties. So the Palestinian parties will have to unite or it will be political suicide.
Okay. Yeah, they know the places to, or the term like hit below the belt. I mean, they know all the hot spots. They know the areas to press those buttons.
They know they can. They have the mainstream media to back them up. Crimes against Palestinians are never reported. Crimes against Israelis, which did happen today, are always reported. I heard them even on Al Jazeera. There was supposedly a hit-and-run accident.
Mm.
And they wanted to say it was a hate crime from a Palestinian to Israelis, and could be, who knows?
Well, sure it could be. And how many settlers have
every day
Palestinians and
it's about every day.
Yeah.
For real. Even the Palestinians get tired of talking about it. It's just every day. News doesn't call it news because it's every day. It's not news. So they don't report it either. And that's another trick Israel uses.
Sure, because it's just a common occurrence. So we don't talk about the common occurrences. Like you said, it's not new. It just happened, so why report it? that's too frustrating. That's just...
Isn't it?
That's too much.
Actually, yeah. Totally. And
I did, actually, before you came on, I mentioned an article called As Conditions Worsen in Gaza, Where Have All the Activists Gone? That article.
Oh, yeah. I love that article. It's a great article.
Well, and that woman, though, I mean, somebody who had been up and optimistic and all is finally, like, praying at night to die because it has been so bad. It's like, oh, my goodness, you know, because you don't want the optimistic people to run out of optimism. I mean, all that positive energy, but it's that bad. I don't know what to say. I did see that more settlements have been okayed. more settlement building?
Oh, lots of more settlements. There, every day, lots. There's so many, it can't even keep up. It's in the south, in the north, everywhere.
Yeah.
And the Israelis have been, once in a while, get some of their property and homes taken also.
Yeah.
They're what they do to the Palestinians, they're starting to do to Israelis too.
Well, that's what you've been saying as far as the treatment of the Israelis.
Oh, yeah.
And the activists, the Israeli activists are just, you know, they have to keep dancing. They've got to keep moving because they're really out to get them.
The Israeli activists, they get death threats every day, rape threats every day. They publish their address on right-wing sites and call to kill them. Anything goes.
Yeah, that's why I'm so glad that you're here. I mean, you get the death threats, but they're coming from there, and you're relatively safe because I don't think anybody's going to, you know, make the trip over the Atlantic to kill you in Tennessee. But the people who are right there in that tiny, tiny, tiny little country, that's a different story. I mean, yeah. And with their address.
One of my friends had a death threat that we know from a guy who trains dogs to kill people.
Oh.
Who has, and then he looked him up, and that guy has lots of brush-ups with the law.
Yeah, well, the guy is a piece of scum to begin with, training animals to kill.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
Whether it's somebody, you know, training dogs for dog fights or to go after humans, the person is a scum. So, oh my goodness. I don't know.
My friend is a little worried. Also, we had in Israel a wedding between an Israeli lady and a Palestinian guy.
Ah.
And the wedding had huge, scary protests outside. The people in the protests were just scary, from an organization called Lehava. The organization is to stop marriage between Jews and Arabs. And philosophy is that all Arab men want to get back at us by stealing our women and blah, 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 blah. And what actually happened, these guys are actually neighbors who live in the same town, who grew up together in the city of Jaffa, who is a city where Palestinians and Israelis always live together and hopefully always will.
Yeah.
And in that city, there's many mixed marriages.
Well, sure. I mean, that only makes sense. Well, good
you
for them.
In the city, we'll get married too, so, yeah.
Yeah, that, I mean, bravo. That took nerve.
Proof that apartheid is silly and criminal.
Yeah. Well, it is. It's immoral, whatever. It's just
wrong.
Oh,
and every... a lot of the villages, the apartheid wall was just an excuse to steal their agricultural land and give it to the settlers. That's
mm-hmm.
all it is. Now, if the kids come and steal a few cherries, they get arrested for hours, even little tiny girls.
When they haul these little kids off for detention or whatever, I mean, their parents just have to be... I would be terrified to see my child swept up by these ignorant people and taken off.
Oh, yeah, that makes the parents sick. Many parents have heart attacks because they know their children will be violated in every way.
Exactly.
And it does make the parents physically ill. And,
sure. I mean, when you think that your child's going to be, like, sexually attacked and, you know, they're very big on using electricity and for torture and things, and because when these kids come
dogs
out, they tell. Yeah, the dogs. So that they, you know, the stories the kids have. I don't know. I was hoping we would have
terrified
some,
from dogs as a kid.
Yeah. Well, the only I don't know. The only the good thing, yes, Jordan recalled their ambassador. That was a good thing. I don't know.
Yeah, we have some countries recognizing Palestine, but
yes, yes. Yeah. So, you know, there's...
Have people waking up.
People are.
But people don't know what to do. I feel there's a lot of not knowing what to do.
Right. There's concern, but people just don't know how they can help. And that's why I was saying...
If anyone has any ideas of what we can do to improve this thing, any great ideas for direct action, message us and we'll work with Occupy all over the country. We have great connections. I do anyway.
Yeah.
We need to do something peaceful, totally nonviolent, but to raise attention and...
Exactly. Raise attention and then also raise physical things like for this Project China, which I was talking about from Ibrahim. I put it on the Air Market Field radio page because there's money, because they're working with people on the ground, organizations in Gaza, and also collecting clothes and blankets and medical things to send. So, I mean, that's like hands-on things, too. So, yeah, message the Reader Eye anytime. And once again, on Facebook, my name is spelled R-U-T-H-A-N. I had to drop an N for this new account after the hacking. So, Sarit, our time is up, but
great.
I will see you here next Wednesday for sure.
Lovely. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Thank you. And we're back after several weeks with Rick Schmidt. Hello, Rick.
How are you doing?
I am great. How are you doing?
I feel okay.
Okay, then. Because that was rather scary. And
it was pretty scary.
Yeah, very unexpected. So, good for you. Well, what do you have for us now? What area of the country or what name are we using tonight for Bigfoot?
Well, I've seen some interesting stuff. I didn't get a chance to look at it, but there was one. I watched a program the other day about a Bigfoot in Kazakhstan, but that's something for a future date.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
Kazakhstan is something that interested me. I thought that was interesting.
Well,
it's got a really odd name. I'm not prepared to talk about him tonight. I thought I'd go into my personal story.
Okay. Because I didn't know if you wanted to do the personal story now, or since we did have it taped, but we're having some technical things. But okay, let's just do it.
We can talk about anything. We can off the cuff it because I know a lot about a lot.
Well, would you want to do that, or you want to do the personal one now?
Well, we can talk about that, but I've been watching some things on TV that have been interesting.
People who are
Native American stuff.
Ah, okay. What part of the country?
Washington State.
Washington, okay. And out there,
Washington State.
And that's like up by, right into British Columbia area, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Specifically, I seen one on, I've been watching something on the Olympic Peninsula.
Okay. Is that a very big area?
It's huge.
Ah, okay.
It's like the size of, I don't know, Vermont.
okay. All right.
It's the size of a small New England state.
Oh, okay. So, and very wooded, I'm thinking.
It's rainforest.
Yeah. So.
And it's remote. It's very mountainous. there's been a lot of sightings up there.
By natives or?
By natives and non-native people.
Okay.
Okay.
How did they describe what they saw?
Well, there was one fella that was talking about he was working for the some kind of park service. His job was to drive up into the basically pull trash out of picnic areas.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah.
You know, he worked in a there was a park area there, and he's pulling trash, and he's been working there for years. And this fella claims, and this is pretty incredible if you buy what he claims, that he has had at least 40 encounters over the past 10 years.
40 in 10 years?
40.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was Native American.
Okay. And he seemed pretty credible?
I thought he was pretty credible. The interviewers that were of the program were kind of, they were skeptical about his, the claims of his, the amount of claims.
Right, that's a lot. I mean, we're talking on the average of 4 a year. But you know what?
But
I
if
mean,
you're living in a thick area.
Exactly.
Where there's quite a few squatch.
Well, right,
and it's also been well established that some squatch become used to people.
Okay, I could see that, like in that kind of year.
And if you there's a lot of people that live out in the thick countryside that we'll see the same one over and over several times a year.
Yeah.
And it becomes routine.
Right. Well, his job.
And the squatch is used to seeing the same people. And this fellow was out in the same area all the time on a, you know, on a regular basis. He had a, like a route he would drive through the different parks, empty the trash cans, pick up trash. Maybe cut down if there was trees knocked down with windstorms or something like that. He'd be cutting wood, and through the course of his time doing that, they got used to seeing him.
I could see that. I mean that I would think would be actually totally possible. Incidentally, what a great job to have. I think so. But, yeah, so to them, or him, or it, or whoever, this guy was just a regular part of the area.
Right.
And
they got used to him.
Right, and he didn't try to do anything against them.
Right. He would pretty much see him and kind of watch them watching him. And what usually happens when you, if you look away for a second and you look back, they're gone.
Fine.
They'll watch you watching them. You look away or do something and you look back and they're gone.
Well, I tell you, I'd have had some kind of camera thing rigged up ready, something that I didn't even have to, you know, pick up and aim, but something that was already whatever. I don't have kind of a picture. I don't know.
Well, there was some interesting footage. It's available on YouTube that was filmed by a park ranger in Washington State.
Ah.
It could have been Oregon. I might be confused about the location. And off the top of my head, I'm sorry, I cannot remember the name of the footage. It's something like the Sanderson footage. But what it shows is he's walking along, and he's got his camera pointed to the ground, and he's filming Bigfoot tracks.
Oh.
Like, oh, would you look at that? And then he puts his boot up there, and you can see his boot compared to the size of the footprint. And he's walking along, and he's just kind of talking to the camera. And then he looks up, and he goes, oh, there it is. And you can see a figure walking through the woods. stops, glances at him, keeps on walking until you can't see him anymore.
I think I probably would exclaim something besides, "Oh, there he is."
He said, "Oh, there he is." And it was very, the way he said it, it's like it was very off the cuff. Like, you know, he was expecting this. I don't know, you know, I don't think he was expecting to see him, but he was like, "Oh, well, there he is."
Right, so he wasn't all that shocked. But, of course, I guess that makes sense, too, because, I mean, there he is filming the tracks. So you would know that one would be somewhere around. And you said he worked for the...
Yeah, he was a park ranger.
Park ranger, okay.
Now, there was some other footage that came by way of a park ranger, though. Very skeptical. Photograph. There's a photograph that's out there. And it looks like the picture's taken down. You're looking down the hill, and there's a body of water, and there's a Bigfoot standing in the water looking up at whoever was photographing the whoever took the picture.
It just didn't look right then?
It looked way too good to be true.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Upon careful analysis, you can actually see blades of grass growing up by the creature in the picture.
Oh.
It was a toy somebody put on the ground, photographed it, and made, you know, and at first glance, it looked like you were looking down a slight incline into a creek.
Oh.
So when you see the blades of grass, it's like, okay, that thing's only 5 inches tall or 10 inches tall.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You know, I've never quite understood what people get out of doing these
hoaxes. Well, let me talk about hoaxing for a minute.
Okay.
That is a real problem. I can't tell you how many things on YouTube I look at, and all they are is you can tell a shaky figure in the thick brush running around does not constitute a good Bigfoot film.
Oh, okay. I'll buy that. Yes.
There are so many that, you know, somebody throws on the ape suit, stands on the other side of the brush, walks around, you can't see any detail, you can't see, you know, that's not what people are looking for. They're looking for stuff that is unexplainable. One of my favorite pieces of footage is called the brown footage. People can look this up. It's called the brown footage. Now, it's a thermal imaging footage. Okay, it's not a film. And what this footage shows, this was filmed in Florida, and these guys were, trying to bring one out in the open. They had been calling and doing things and to get their attention. And there's this large tree, and in the little clip, you can see something moving around just on the back side of the tree. But you can tell it's on both sides of the tree. You can see a little bit in the front and a little bit in the back. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you're watching this for a second, and then out of the blue, now this looks too good to be true, but this has been checked out. A large figure steps out of from behind the tree, takes two steps, and disappears into the brush. This figure is classic. This figure has the head, the arm swing. I mean, it's incredible. Now, I watched a group of researchers interview the people who made this footage. It was a father and son team. They were working together that night. And the skeptic on the team could not explain it because they actually, the guy showed him, well, this is the tree where the creature was behind, and this is what I was doing when this happened. And so they took one of their researchers, who is pretty big guy, probably 6'5", 300 pounds, easy, pushing 300, and he goes behind the tree. He could not fill in, you know, you could not see his body on both sides of this tree. The tree
right.
was large.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, and then they said, okay, and they filmed him on their thermal imager, just like, you know, they did tried to use a similar technique to see
right.
what it looked like when he walked out. And he walked out in the same place and disappeared behind the same brush. And the difference was incredible.
Wow.
He was way smaller.
Okay.
His arms were stubby. The thing in the footage has long arms.
Mm.
Incredibly long arms, almost down past his knees if he was standing there straight up and down. And
okay.
When their fella moved around there, his arms were stubby. His legs were stubby, and like I said, he was a big dude. He's 300 pounds, easy, tall. And
then his gait would have been different too, I suppose.
His gait was completely different. He looked like just somebody walking through the woods.
Right,
And the skeptic on the team, she says, I have no explanation for this.
Ah.
You guys have really stumped me on this one, because usually she comes up with, oh, they saw a bear, oh, this is a guy in a monkey suit, oh, you know, she's always got something to say. And I like it when she gets stumped.
Yeah.
Because this is some of the best new footage. It was filmed in 2000, I believe in 2012.
What?
It's fairly recent.
Yeah, and that was in Florida, you said.
It was in Florida, in the Panhandle.
Oh, in the Panhandle.
Florida, which is northern Florida, okay?
Oh, definitely.
Which is, by the way, my favorite part of Florida.
Really?
You can keep the Everglades.
Ah.
There's nothing down there for me. Now, there's Bigfoot down there. There's Bigfoots in the Everglades, but as far as going to visit Florida,
yeah.
I love the Panhandle. Northern Florida is my favorite part of the state.
I love Miami Homestead. I love the South.
I've been there. I've done all that. It was a nice place to visit. I don't think I'll ever go back.
Well, I lived on the Gulf two different times around Tampa Pete in that area. And, you know, from time to time when I think about moving back, it's always not there. It's always the southeastern part, because I fell in love with the Atlantic, and I like to be close to it. But the Panhandle, well, okay, so there are some in the Glades, though, you say. Well, that makes sense, because that's awfully wild.
Yeah, but, that part of the state is very remote.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember, as a lad, I camped in a place called Myakka River State. No, it wasn't. It was, oh gosh, I can't remember. There's a state park in northern Florida that is just beautiful. We went hiking. It's nothing but pine trees and palmetto bushes. And I fished it. It was wonderful. And it's just, it's real squatchy. There are, you can drive for miles, not see anything but woods.
Yeah, this was Panhandle or not?
Where the brown footage was taken.
That was the Panhandle.
It was actually in a state park in the Panhandle.
Oh, it was in a state park. But where you camped.
It was in a state park, oh yeah.
But where you camped was not the Panhandle.
Where I camped was more east from the Panhandle.
Okay. Okay.
And for life of me, I can't remember the name of that park.
Yeah.
But it was up north. It was pretty much the same kind of things.
Of area.
It looked the same as what you saw in the Panhandle.
Right.
You know, the moss on the trees and
large
trees.
Yeah. First time I saw Spanish moss, oh my goodness, I was totally in another country, another world. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But
I love the live oak trees.
Yeah. But you're saying then that area in the Panhandle there's a lot of remoteness. But it was a state park. So
it was a state park.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, I mean, I'm sure that the squashes don't care whether.
Well, they're protected in a state park. Think about it. There's no hunting in state parks.
Exactly.
For the most part. For the most part.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that's an absolute avid rule, but because in our country we've killed off most of the predators that would take care of the deer populations, hunting is necessary in some places, and they allow hunters to go in on some parks where there's a problem with too many deer.
Yeah, yeah. But as a rule, it would be much safer in a state park.
As a rule, they're pretty much wildlife refuges.
Mm.
For the most part. For the most part.
That would be a good part to go into.
But like I said, I love the brown footage because it has a skeptic who is very often. It had her stumped. Like I said, she always had something to say about, well, you know, that could have been a bear. Oh, that could have been a person. And a lot of times I do agree with her.
Yeah.
I've seen some footage that... they claimed it was a teenage Bigfoot raiding a cooler at night.
A cooler is in...
It was a teenage Bigfoot, so there was no... You couldn't say, well, you know, this was too big to be a human because it was a teenage Bigfoot, so this creature was probably in the 6-foot range.
Mm.
Very slim. It looked like a teenager to me.
Digging
in a cooler. Okay, but the claim was made, we was running our camera at night, and here's what it caught while, you know, and I'm looking at that thinking, well, that looks like a teenager stealing beer out of your cooler, dude.
Okay.
That's not a Bigfoot.
It's not a Bigfoot, it's just a teenager in the cooler, yeah, okay.
And they had all kinds of excuses why it couldn't have been, but I'm not convinced. A lot of the stuff you see is just, it's bogus.
Right, but then my question is what do people get out of arranging these elaborate hoaxes? What do they get from that?
You know, that's really a question for a psychologist.
Yeah, really.
I would think, I don't know, I remember the story I told you about the fellas from Georgia that made claim online that they had found a dead Bigfoot.
Right.
And they got money right off the bat from people wanting to pay to have the story exclusivity on the story.
Okay.
Okay, but you remember that was a real blatant hoax. It was a gorilla costume stuffed with guts to make it smell bad.
Yeah.
They put it in a cooler. You know, one of the same fellas has got another one online now, another claim that he's found a dead Bigfoot.
Oh my God.
There's a photograph out there, And he says, you know, we've sent off DNA, but we haven't got it back yet. But you can pay to come see photographs of it.
Oh, my God. And there will
be
people.
It's nonsense.
But there will be
people. It's not like you're going
to. Oh.
There's an old saying. Screw me once, shame on you. Screw me twice, shame on me.
Exactly. And who was, was it Barnum, I think, that said a sucker's born every minute or something?
Well, actually, they say Barnum said that, but Barnum never really said that.
Ah, okay.
It's a good saying, though.
It's a good saying, exactly. Oh, okay.
That's the most famous thing that they said Barnum said that he never said.
Yeah, it was several of those kind of things going around,
a
I guess.
A lot of people didn't like Barnum, but yeah.
But so basically then you think that most of them, it's the hoaxes are put out because the people are trying not just to get their 15 minutes of fame, but to get some cash in some form.
Either that or the 15 minutes of fame is another, you know, just a little notoriety.
Yeah.
I have seen people try to get on the TV show Finding Bigfoot, and their footage is lame. It gets torn apart. Even by the people that want to believe it.
Okay, so then it has to be really pretty bad.
Some researchers will look at everything and say, oh, well, that's a Squatch. And, you know, no matter what, it's a Squatch. But some of the best stuff is so bad, they become skeptical also.
That they can't even.
Which is a good thing. Which is a good thing. They need to be skeptical.
Yeah. Well, I think that's, you want people who are skeptical, because when they can't, just like that lady, when she couldn't explain it and said, I don't know what to say, you know, that really is where you get your credibility, from people who go into it thinking, prove it. And
right.
Then, when, you know, because if somebody, if you want so much to believe, you may not filter correctly. And that, I mean, that doesn't mean that you're a liar. It doesn't mean anything. It just means that you want to believe so much that you overlook some obvious points, maybe.
Right, right.
So when you have somebody who has more of that attitude, well, I'm open, but you need to prove it to me kind of thing.
Right.
Then that will give it more credibility for sure.
Absolutely.
But what are some of the, do you have some shows? Now, you mentioned the brown footage on YouTube. I'm going to look at that. And you said there's a TV show called Finding Bigfoot.
Yeah, it's in about third or fourth season.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, see, things I miss by
now. In fact, this Sunday night is the season premiere.
I'm not sure
where they're going. But
do they travel the country.
And they travel the globe.
Oh, they do? Okay. So they go.
They have been to Indonesia looking for Arain Pendek. They have been to Australia looking for the Yowie. They have been to Nepal looking for the Yeti. They have been to China looking for the Yeren. They have been to Vietnam looking for the Vietnamese wild man.
Wow.
Which I think is one that really will be discovered.
Ah.
I've seen some stuff on the Vietnamese wild man, and it's they live in an area where it's so remote and jungle that it was just a few years ago they discovered one of the largest caves on the planet in this area where the Vietnamese wild man lives.
Oh.
And I'm talking like 5 years ago.
Oh, wow, recent. Yeah.
Recent. You know, here's the largest cave on the planet. Nobody knew about it.
Wow. I mean, and after, you know, Vietnam, you think, well, after the United States bombed every square inch they could find, and still there was the largest cave on the planet that was just discovered?
Well, you know, the Americans burned a lot of the jungle, but they didn't burn it all. They couldn't.
Yeah.
The jungle was too big. There was too much jungle.
Well, and jungle regrows, too.
Right, right.
You know, pretty rapidly, actually, depending on what kind of toxins.
But, yeah, they have been, like I said, they've been to Vietnam, China, Australia, Indonesia.
Wow. What a cool job.
I used to watch another program called Destination Truth. And I was watching an old rerun of them, and that's where I saw the one on Kazakhstan.
Mm.
And they have been to, I probably get the name of the country wrong. It sits up by Nepal. I believe it's called Bhutan.
Yeah, Bhutan. Yeah.
In Bhutan, they, and I believe Nepal might do the same thing. They have Yeti preserves.
Ah.
Set aside.
That is cool.
They have scientists in China. Nepal, Bhutan, that routinely that take the finding of Bigfoot seriously, or finding all these creatures seriously. Not like our country.
Right. Okay, so, you know, and for them to allot money and a research team and all that, you know that there's been enough sightings, enough evidence for them to, you know, put this kind of money people out there. So, no, that's excellent. No. But, Rick, our time, our half hour is up, but next week you will be back and...
Yeah.
We'll have more, because that's so interesting. I am going to look up the brown footage, though. And
yeah, we'll look up the brown footage. We'll talk about it. And I'll try to figure out what some of that other stuff I was telling you about.
Okay, wonderful. Sounds great.
About the one from the park ranger one is very interesting.
Yeah, no, that sounds, So, okay,
but
well.
There's another one from, Okay, bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Done.